part talking about home and church and wherever I'm. If I stop what I'm doing, it's all going to fall apart. You know when I say it most? I say it when like I'm rinsing another dish or cleaning up after someone. I'm here and like someone didn't put something away or I'm doing something I didn't plan for. I'm like, come on, don't they know I've got stuff to do? Come on, like help me out here. I've got a life too and I'm doing things for others I didn't expect to do. You know what? Maybe you don't say it that way, but you say it this way. Someone comes up to you and they say, how are you? What do you say? You say, I'm good, but I'm busy, right? I'm good, but I'm busy. I'm doing okay, but man, I got a lot going on. I can handle it. I'm doing fine. I've got a life. It's busy. It's not too much. I got it covered. You know what? You ever have times where, you know, God's trying to get your attention? Like over and over and over and over again. So no one's had that. It's just me. So, all right, I'm on my own up here. It's just me. So this summer I picked up a book called The Art of Rest by Adam Mabry. And I read that through a few times. I did the audiobook because I can do it while I'm driving and cutting grass and doing all the things I got to do because I got to learn how to rest when I'm doing what I got to do, right? And so, great, great book. And then, you know, I've been planning for several months during this Live Deep, the Practices of the Way of Jesus sermon series on the topic of Sabbath rest this morning. Last weekend, I went to a retreat. I had no idea what the theme would be or anything, but when I got there on Thursday, it was come rest with me. I don't know. I don't get it. So last week, I was off for a few days. I took some vacation, and here's my Wednesday devotion. I don't always do this devotional. Sometimes I usually just go straight to the Bible, and who needs devotions? But I felt like, oh, I need a devotion, so let me read it to you. Lie down in green pastures of peace. Learn to unwind whenever possible, resting in the presence of your shepherd. This electronic age keeps my children wired much of the time, too tense to find me in the midst of their moments. I build into your very being the need for rest. How twisted the world has become when people feel guilty about meeting the basic need. How much time and energy they waste by being always on the go rather than taking time to seek my direction for their lives. Anyone see a pattern? See a pattern? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I just can't get it like on the first try. I can't listen. And God just got to keep telling me again and again and again. So here's what I try and do as a pastor. Whenever I'm preaching something, I absolutely want to be sincere. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to stand up here and preach about stuff that I'm not personally applying or at least doing moderately well. I'm terrible at what I'm preaching about today. Okay, this is a struggle for me. God's trying to get my attention. I'm trying to change my life, trying to switch some things. So today's as much a journey for me as I want to share my journey with you. And maybe through it all, we can find this gift that God calls Sabbath rest. So if you're like me, and you probably are because you grew up in Canada, in North America, many of you grew up in North America or Canada, at least in a busy world, you're busy. You're tired. You're too tired to be busy, right? And we live our lives at just this crazy pace. But the truth is that we need some sort of a new rhythm. And we're going to break. Anxiety, depression, stress, all these physical and emotional markers, it happens to the best, or who we would consider the best of people, who should have it all together. When they reach the end of themselves and they realize, man, I just don't. We need rest. Adam Mabry in his book, and I just want to give full disclosure, a lot of what I'm sharing today, at least the seeds of it started there, and some of it comes from there directly. Adam Mabry suggests this, and most of us don't want to rest because we don't really need to. We think, I've got this, no problem. You're strong enough for it. Or deep down, you don't really want to stop doing because you really want to outdo the other doers around you. You wouldn't say that, but really, if you're honest, that's the case. Some of you today agree with all I've said, and you might just be thinking, all I need to do is take some Sundays off and I'll be good. But I want to tell you, Sabbath rest is a whole lot more than just the mechanics of that. Some of you here today are thinking, man, I would love to rest if I just knew what that meant or how to do that. I don't even get the general concept. My life doesn't allow for that. Some of you grew up much like me in church and So Sundays were kind of a set-apart day, right? And there's certain things you should and should not do, you know, with cooking and activity and sports and entertainment and shopping and all this stuff. And so, you know, probably you're not doing that anymore because it was just exhausting to try and keep that up. But you probably feel a little guilty every Sunday you don't take rest. Some of you come from a different perspective, and it's just not been part of your life at all. Some of you are like me. You're not a workaholic, but you're intense. I'm intense. So I'm intense at work. I'm intense about rest. I have a to-do list of rest. When I'm resting, when I'm off, when I'm vacating, I want to do these things. Stephanie hates this question in the morning on the, when we take a day off together. What are we doing? She's like, don't ask me what we're doing. No, I just want to know what we're doing because I want to make a plan. I want to nail this. I want to get to the end of the day and go, I did a good job, man. Feel good about myself. Go back to work and I've accomplished another thing with my time off. I'm terrible at this. Working hard at home or church. Working hard at your job. Working hard with your family. Trying hard at all these things. There's something to that, and there's lots of good teaching we can talk about that. But we do need rest. As you'll discover, because you're a human, a mom, a dad, a student, a teen, a person, you need rest. You can't just stay up here all the time. You know what I tend to do? I like flip-flop between like intense, like I'm going at it, whether it's work, church, relationships, friends, hobbies, and then I crash. And then I feel guilty because I've crashed and I should be more on top of things. And I go back and back and forth and I'm busy and then I'm lazy and sometimes I'm lazy, busy. And it's just exhausting. And I know you guys struggle with it too. You know why I know? Because I watch you when I preach, and some of your eyes are heavy. And I have to, for my own sanity, think, it's because I'm not boring. Or it's not because I'm boring. So what is Sabbath rest? What is it all about? See, like I said, I was raised in a church setting where, you know, Sundays, you shouldn't play cards. You shouldn't do sports. Shouldn't go out to entertainment. Things like that. But now, most months I host once or twice our young adult group who on Sundays we play cards and we watch movies and we play sports. Am I doing it wrong? Am I like, what is it? What are we supposed to do with Sundays, with Sabbath rest? I remember driving past Fairview Park Mall on one of the first Sundays it was open. Does anyone remember when, like, don't do it. Don't put your hands up. You'll just feel old. You'll be upset. There was a time, in case you didn't know, that everything was shut down on Sundays, or most things. And I remember driving past Fairview Park Mall on one of the first Sundays that it was open. And I remember the conversation and the mood in the car was like, this is a bad thing. I can't, our society, you know, it's going to hell, and it's a terrible thing. I just remember driving in the car, getting off that off-ramp. I think we're going to, like, Christian Chicken. Like Swiss Chalet, where other people worked all the time, so I didn't get the big difference. But it just didn't make any sense to me. But the past few years, I've been really struggling with this. I want to tell you this. God has a gift for you. God has a wonderful gift, and it's called Sabbath rest. So what is Sabbath rest? Well, the word Sabbath in Hebrew, it's not a noun, it's a verb, it's an action. It means to, surprise, surprise, rest from work. And so the whole Jewish Israelite culture was formed around a schedule. They had like this 7-year schedule where on the 7th year they're supposed to take Sabbath, and every 50 years you're supposed to have this jubilee and set people free, and every week they're supposed to, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, take rest. And so they would go to the tabernacle or the temple. They wouldn't do any work. They had laws and rules and regulations. Where did that come from? See, they had their whole culture set for that. Everything they did was based around that. Well, in Genesis chapter 2, we see that God created the heavens and the earth, and he created people, and he said, this is very good. Everything else was good, but people were very good, and then he rested. He set apart that day as holy. And so God's people started to do that. And then we fast forward a few years, and God rescues his people from slavery in Egypt. If you remember the narrative, they were building the Egyptian empire. When Moses went to set them free, their oppressors were even more difficult on them. They worked all the time. They just 400 years of slavery. And God set them free miraculously from that and said, I'm moving you into this other land. I'm going to call it the Promised Land. It sounds pretty good. Promised Land. It's going to be a place of rest. Everybody's going to watch across the world of what it's like to be under my care. And so as they come from Egypt on their way to the Promised Land, they stop at Mount Sinai. They really mess things up because they go after idols and all this stuff. But while Moses is up on the mountain, God gives them not just 10 commands. I mean, most of us know the 10 commandments, but a whole bunch, this law of Moses. And the fourth commandment, Exodus 20, 8 to 11, is this. Here's the way Moses records what God said to him. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So God's making it official now, okay? We're not just following his example. He's making it official. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. Lots of time. Get it done in 6 days. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male, your female servants, your livestock, any foreigners living among you. This includes the people who work at Foda Bo and Tim Hortons and all other people who are around you who do the work. You should give them a break too. You feeling guilty? Hold on. We're not going where you think I'm going. Just stay put. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But the seventh day he rested. That's why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, set it apart as holy. So they got this whole system going on. God makes this rule. Fast forward to the time of Jesus, and not only do they have these 10 commandments, with the fourth one being about the Sabbath and all this whole culture and society, they have a full-blown temple and priests and religion that's all set around this Sabbath day of rest. Sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, everything happened around there. The temple was the center of culture. Everything they did was based around this basic premise. But if you look from Genesis to the time of Jesus, people forgot that. And they wandered from God. The point God had for setting aside this day to rest wasn't just to take a break, but so that they're physically and spiritually healthy and connected to him. So that they'd understand that he cares for their needs and not them. They completely blew it. They forgot. In fact, by the time of Jesus, with this temple and full-blown religious system, these religious leaders called the Pharisees, they had about 600 rules, many of which were around the Sabbath. So it's not enough just to say, keep the Sabbath day holy. We're going to make a list of how you need to do that. We're going to help you. You know, their intentions were pure. Yeah, do you guys have like a work manual at work? And every time someone does something wrong, you get something else added. Like, no, you shouldn't put your finger in the meat slicer. Stuff like this, right? Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. And you add and add and add and add and add. You can't cover every eventuality, but there's all this stuff. And so Jesus comes on the scene, and he starts healing on the Sabbath day. At least a couple times we know of it. And he gets in trouble for it. And the one time he heals a guy who can't walk, he's probably paralyzed. Guy rolls up his mat and starts to walk. The Pharisees aren't mad that he's walking. He rolled up a mat. That specifically was outlawed. You can't roll up a mat on the Sabbath day. And so they say to Jesus, why are you doing this? There's another guy in the temple. In the temple, Jesus heals his hand. And the Pharisees are mad. You can't heal. You can't heal. Another time, Jesus is walking through a grain field with his disciples, and they're hungry because they don't work. They have people who support them. They go place to place, and they receive the blessing and kindness of others. They're hungry. So they start to break off heads of wheat, and they roll the kernels in their hand. They eat that. That sounds really gross to me, but when you're hungry, that's what they did. And so he gets in trouble, and so Jesus responds to this, and he says, you guys are hypocrites. He exposes the whole system, that it's all broken. The whole system of Sabbath is broken, all of it. Because he said, you guys are allowed to help out a mule or an ox or a sheep, goes in a ditch or falls in a well. You can do that on the Sabbath, but I can't do good. He says, look, even your greatest king, King David, the one you look up to, when his men were hungry, they ate bread holy in the temple, set aside only for priests. They ate that because they were hungry, and it was okay. So it's okay for your king to do that, but I can't eat a few grains. He exposes that the whole system is broken. It's clear that we can't take our cues for Sabbath rest from anything in Old Covenant, anything Old Testament. The point of Sabbath rest is not to look back. It's actually to look forward. So if we zoom out in the New Testament, we can see at least three things about the Sabbath that we can learn for us. First, human-made rules can't make us have soft hearts towards God. We can't put a bunch of rules in place so that on a specific day our hearts will be softened towards God. Second, Sabbath is a blessing for us. It's not a demand from God. It's not something God says, if you don't do this, I'm going to smite you. It's a blessing from God so that we have rest and we're connected towards him. And third, Sabbath points to resurrection rest. It points forward to one day when Jesus will return and the heavens come down and meet with earth and there's this new place. Okay, this whole pearly gate, like harps and angels and all that stuff, that's not quite what the Bible says. It's a place of rest where God takes care of all our needs. Seems like there's relationships and eating and enjoyment. And God gives us a bit of that now. In fact, the prophecy in Revelation says that Jesus himself will be light. He'll provide the light. God will take care of everything. No sin, no sadness, no broken relationships. It's perfection. It's what God planned. And we relate with him. Hebrews was a book written. We don't know who wrote it. The author didn't claim that. But written to a new church made primarily of Israelites, of Jews, who were trying to figure out, what of this old law, old covenant, Old Testament stuff, do we bring into our relationship with Jesus? And in chapter 4, we read this. So there's a special rest still waiting for the people of God. Okay, so Sabbath rest is pointing forward. Why? For all who have entered God's rest, okay, at that time, have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. Bookend. What God did on the seventh day was to point forward to the way it will be one day. So it begs the question. See, Jesus is trying to get us to return to what God intended in the beginning. It begs the question, why did God rest? Why did God rest? Was he tired? Was he worn out after 6 days heavy lifting? I mean, he made everything from nothing. He must have had a plan. Must have been hard work. No, not at all. Think about who God was and what he must have been doing before creation. The best we can tell before creation, it was just Father, Son, and Spirit in perfect relationship with one another. Perfect love, content, enjoying life. And they decided to make a place with a creature in their own image who not only would enjoy life that they made for them, but would, instead of this Trinity, be welcomed in kind of to a square, all right? Humanity is welcomed into that. He rested, not because he was tired, but because he stood in triumph. And he was like, this is all for you. Look, don't eat this one tree. It's going to wreck you. I don't want you wrecked. The rest is for you. And he would walk in the cool of the garden with his creation. He welcomed us into rest and relationship where he cared for everything, enjoyment. Rest is for relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with others. Jesus accomplished more than we will ever accomplish. Sometimes when we think about rest, we think, how can I stop? How can I put this stuff down? What do I say? if I stop, everything's going to fall apart. How foolish. How self-centered. How proud. Now, Jesus accomplished more than we will ever accomplish. You know when he accomplished most? When he was being tortured, hanging on a cross, dying. By our measures, he wasn't doing anything of value. How can someone dying, not able to move, talk, send a memo, email, social media post, accomplish anything at work, make a dollar, have a good relationship with family, friend, hanging on a cross, how can he accomplish anything? But he did. He accomplished right relationship between people and God again, the way it was on the seventh day. He gave us opportunity to go back by looking forward to the way it will be one day. That all who believe in and follow Jesus can enter into a Sabbath rest. Not because of what we do or what we accomplish or how good we are, how great a Christian I am. Look what a good pastor and father. God, look at all this stuff I've done. Aren't you impressed with your child? Not because of that, but because of what he did. And because of how we learn to rest. Our life and our experience are transformed and changed as we learn to rest. So rest is an art and a gift. It's not rules. It's not regulation. It doesn't look back to old covenant. God's not waiting, to give you harm. If you don't take Sabbath rest, guess what? You already experience it. You don't take Sabbath rest, you get the life you've got. Ulcers and all sorts of stuff, stresses. He wants to bring you back to relationship. And so what I want to encourage us to think about is that Sabbath rest is a time where we can shift from the rhythm of measures to the rhythm of movement. Let me say that again. Rest is a time that we can shift from the rhythm of measures to the rhythm of movement. Our whole world, everything we do on those other 6 days, and we're going to talk about days and what all that means in a minute. Everything we do outside of rest is about measures. Your job, the books you read, the gym you go to, your health, your emotional health, how you think about things. It's all measures. How good are you doing? How are you doing? Busy. Busy equals important. Important is good. I'm busy. We good? I'm busy. Hey, I'm busy. Doesn't make any sense. We have measures all the time. We have measures the world puts on us. We have the measures in our heart and our mind we put on ourselves. Man, I didn't do so good. I look at these other people and I'm jealous. Look at that pastor for me at that church and all he's doing. Look at that dad. Look at that husband. Look at that lawn. Look at that house. It's clean. How do they do that? My fault, not Stephanie's. And I can also look at others and judge. Look at that church. Look at that pastor. Look at that dad. Look at that husband. Doesn't he know better? Look at that house. Man, how could they live like that? And I measure. Somewhere I sit in here. And I can judge looking down, and I can be jealous looking up. Rest is a time where we get out of that. God invites us to a gift where we stop being measured. Because he says, everything you can do good is not good enough. So I did it for you. You just come. In fact, Jesus was really clear that he wants us to move from consumerism to communion. He wants us to move from consumerism to communion, from projects to prayer, from I have to's to I want to's. Man, I want to do this. From selfishness to selflessness. From I can't to, man, God can. Move away from I am not enough to, man, I'm enough in him. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 11. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. You have a heavy burden? And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. Come to me. Movement. Come on. Let's move you away from that stuff and get you going this way. I want you to move towards me. I want you to move to others in your life. I want you to move towards rest. I want you to move towards things that are like down there when I come back and I make all things new and I resurrect you. And it's good. I want you to enjoy that. Let's move. Stop being measured. Let's just move. Let's just move together. Put down your measures. I will give you rest. Do you want accomplishment? You want a job description? You want tasks? You're kind of a type A personality? He's like, game on. Awesome. Put my yoke on you. If you don't know what a yoke is, okay, it's a farming tool. Everybody he spoke to knew that what that was. And what it was is a piece of wood that would go over two oxen, almost always two. And so they'd strap this on the animal, and it connected to the plow. Jesus says, you want rest? Here's an instrument of burden and work. What? That doesn't make any sense at all. Put my yoke on you. You know that thing you put on your oxen and then you stand on the back and these poor animals are pulling you and the plow through dirt and you're working? It's the thing you put on when you begin to work. He says, take my yoke. You want work? I got work. My work's different. My work's different. No one in Jesus' day would dream of throwing on a yoke. Listen, it's like me saying, okay, you want some rest? I got this good deal for you. There's this resort in Asia. Book it. Here's the stuff. Book it. But here's what I want you to do. When you book it and you land and you're on that bus and you're headed to this resort along one of the beaches in Asia, what I want you to do is hop off the bus and go downtown. I want you to find a dude with a rickshaw. You know what a rickshaw is? It's a guy who pulls like two or three people in a cart with two wheels. And what I want you to do is don't go to the resort for rest. I want you to give that guy the week off and then give people rides around the city for a whole week for free. And then come home. Woohoo! Isn't that rest? It's crazy. That's what Jesus said. He said, look, this yoke, this thing that represents work, these things you're so tied to, these measures, I've got a different scale. I've got different work. When I teach, it's different. I'm humble. The purpose, the identity, the direction I give for your life is light. It's meant to give life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It's for you. And here's where I'm going to give you rest. You're not just going to vacate your work and go somewhere and figure out, if you know Jim Gaffigan, he's a comedian, he goes, I don't get vacation. All it is you pay to go somewhere to decide where you're going to eat next. It's all you do. Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? It's different than that. He gives rest for your soul. He gives rest for your soul. But wait, Jesus, I got stuff to do, man. Like, I can't just take a break. You don't understand my job. Yeah, I do. I know. Come to me. Bring it. But Jesus, I work Sundays. It's okay. I'm not about days. You just pick your time. Come to me. Because Jesus confronted the hypocrisy of the Pharisees in the age of the temple. And then in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said this, you are the temple. You're the temple. You don't have to wait to get your whole calendar and your life and all your society in order to have one day. Is it good to meet together on a particular day? Yeah, we choose Sunday. Why do we choose Sunday? The early church chose Sunday over Saturday because that's the day that Jesus rose. Now, if you go online, you'll find all sorts of purists who go, oh, we got to move back to Saturday. And it was Constantine who made religion, you know, of the state, and they're worshiping the sun god. And it's, who cares? That's garbage. That gets you way off. God doesn't care. He wants you with him. You have a temple. It's you. His Holy Spirit comes in you. You can walk in the cool of the garden of your heart just like he walked in. You can be by whatever you want, crystal sea, golden, whatever heaven's going to be. You get a taste of it right now. Right now. But I got kids I can't get. Bring them. Look, I'm going to show you how you can rest with your kids and with your family. But I don't know how. I'll teach you. I'll teach you. Come to me. I'll make it light. See, Jesus says, just come to me all the time. Practically, what does that mean? Well, I go to Jesus every day. Because if I don't sit with him every day and take him my stuff and say, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to do this. Show me something. Teach me something. I'm lost, Jesus. I need you. I'm done. I'm sunk. So I can go every day. So I encourage you, go every day. That's quiet time. God's not up in heaven with a measure and like he's checking the calendars. Well, you spent time with me today. Not so much there, here. So this is a good boy. That's a bad girl. He says, just come. Throw that measurement stuff away. I'm crazy about you. I died for you. And come one day a week. I can't do a day a week. Start somewhere. Work up. Honestly, take a day. You ever taken a day like of rest? I'm not just talking not working. What does that look like? Because Jesus said, I'm going to do good. I'm going to put others first. He was healing and helping. What brings you life? Do that. But you need to make sure that it's within relationship, that it's directed towards God. What about sports on Sunday? I don't know. I don't do sports on Sunday. I don't do sports ever. But if for you, you know, playing a pickup game or something like that is good. But here's I'm just going to caution this. If you spend your whole week running and then you're almost every weekend, you're going nuts with your kids here, there, and everywhere. You're not talking to them. They're measured under this strict system in sports. And you end up the end of your weekend, you're getting ready for school again. And they're tired and you're tired and you're drained and they're drained and you're mad and they're mad and you haven't barely talked. Except for McDonald's between games. Maybe not rest. Here's something I learned last year, because I've been trying to do this. I've been taking courses on time management, that whole Thrive thing, that's a big deal to me. You have more power over your schedule than you think. You are not a slave to anything. You just, it's real simple. No. No. Now I'm going to do this. So what are some things you could do on a Sabbath day? What makes a Sabbath day? Again, Sabbath day are things that take us towards God. So what does that mean? Well, what we're doing here. Gather with other people. Meet with them. Worship. Learn. Teach. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. Look, when you fall into the freedom of Sabbath rest, you don't come to church gatherings less because, like, I'm not under law, so now I don't go, so it's all good, and now I don't even do anything with God. I just live my own thing. And no, you want to go more. You want to go to God more because you realize it's rest and it's life and it's awesome, and I want to be around other people who are doing this too because we all suck and we can't get it right. So I need some help. And so I get some accountability, and I go to lunch and we talk, and I have people bear my burdens because I can't. Meet. Sleep. Sleep. I give you permission, not that I have any authority over your life, to sleep and to rest. Sleep. Take time. If you don't, do it. Nobody gets enough sleep. Sleep. Read. Enjoy Scripture. Enjoy Scripture. Find a version that connects with you. Here's my challenge. You ever read a whole book of the Bible through, front to back? Start small, man. Philemon. One chapter. There you go. There's a context and a beauty there. Find another book. Read. Slow down. Drink deep. Pray. So tonight we have International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. 6:30. Anybody who can come, send a spouse. One of you put the kids to bed. We can't actually do anything. Nothing. You just sit and ask God to help people who are like us, who follow Jesus and don't do this. They can't do this. So we're putting others first instead of our Sunday night. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be sleeping. Let's be honest. Resting, watching a show, doing whatever. But man, those people are more important to me than me. So I'm putting them first. So I'm going to come. Now, I'm not a great prayer. My heart doesn't always think of the persecuted church, but I can at least do this. Pray. Spend time with God. Spend time with others. Listen. Slow down and listen to God. Listen to God. Reflect. Give yourself time to think. Stop going event to event. Think. Slow down. Hobby. Find something to do that's not your work. And I'm not talking hobby like, man, I got to finish the bathroom and I got to do this and all these projects. Something you're just learning. And at the point your heart goes, man, I got to really work at this and I'm not doing, it's not a, no good. Throw it away. It's not helping you anymore. Now you're working at it. Something you just enjoy. This Adam Mabry guy from this book, he's a pastor too. He does like woodworking and stuff with his hands because he's terrible at it. And it's not what he normally does, but he's able to spend time with God doing it, something else. And he finds rest. Relate, reconnect with others, spend lots of time with other people. Eat. Eat. Enjoy a meal with someone else. Okay, I don't mean like 15 fast food meals, you in front of Netflix and gorging. Like, eat. Enjoy time with others. We've lost how sacred a meal is. And sing. Brings you joy. Sing. You know what I did this week to try some of this? Normally when I'm making supper, it's a horrible supper. Wesley, do I cook good supper? No. No. It depends. Thank you. Bigger Christmas present. All right. I made a meal. So I made spaghetti and Caesar salad. But I chopped things slow. I put on some music, and I sang. It was so good. I wasn't just making a meal to put something on the table quick so we can quick get off to my meeting. I washed dishes. I washed dishes lots. I like it, but I slowed down. Hot water and soapy, hot water and dishes, looking out the window, praying. Just slowing down, resting. I didn't have to come to church. It didn't have to be Sunday. So why have I been wearing this whole time? Because this is the things I carry. And it's the things you carry. We all carry stuff. We all have measures in our life. Stuff that we go day to day to day with. And sometimes we just need a little rest. We got to take these things out. And we got to take them to God. And we got to say, God, man, I can't do this. I just can't do this. And so we can take them out and we can say, you know, my projects. Like all the stuff I got to do around my house, around work, all the projects I'm working on. It's such a heavy load. God, help me with that. I need you just to handle the results. And my parenting. Man, I want to be a good dad. But, like, I don't measure up a lot of the times. Help, I'm just giving it to you, God. I can't take this weight. It's crushing me. It's killing me. My hobbies. Man, the things that have become work. Man, I should be a good guitarist by this point. Man, I've been playing like 20 years. I never touched the thing. Why aren't I better? Help me just enjoy it. Just enjoy it, God. Work. I want to do a good job at work. But it's not who I am. Because I'm not defined by what I do. So take that, God. Sickness. Health. Stuff in my family and others. God, there's nothing I can do about it. But I carry the weight and I worry about it. So I just want a chance just to give it back to you. I can't carry it. My problems. And the problems other people give me that I can't fix. And I pray about and I cry about. And I just don't have a hope apart from you. There's nothing I can do. What about my own health? I should be fit and trim and skinny and full of energy and a good example to everyone else. And I really like chocolate. So, God, just let me be released from this. And help me be who you want me to be. Friend. I want to be a great friend. But I'm an extroverted introvert and I ignore people. And that weighs on me. God, help me be a good friend. I don't know how to do it. So help me be your friend. My self-image. We carry that around all the time. Who am I? How do I view myself? How do I stack up between other people? God, it doesn't matter. You love me. I am yours. My accomplishments. God, there's this whole heap of stuff I'm proud of and this whole heap of stuff I'm not proud of. And I just bring it to you because it doesn't matter either way. It's all the same to you. You just love me. Help me do well with it, what you've given me. But help me be okay and be at peace and rest. My purpose. My calling. My life direction. Am I doing the right thing, God? Am I in? Show me you. Help me understand. My possessions. Man, stuff breaks. And we got to get something new. And there's worries in my house and the car and all this stuff. God, you, like, I can't. You take it. You take it. What about my dreams? There's stuff I wanted, stuff that never happened, stuff I still want that I don't know if we'll have. God, would you take that? I just can't. I can't, but you can. What about my marriage? That's a bigger rock. Because of me, not because of Stephanie. God, would you help me in my marriage? I just need to spend some time where it's not weighing on me. I'm just listening. I'm putting it in your hands. I'm putting the results of all these things in your hands. And what about my spiritual life? Do you know spiritual life for me is often a work thing, is often a burden. God, am I doing enough? Am I close enough to you? Am I reading enough, praying enough? Am I growing enough? Am I leading? No. You know what happens when we come to the cross and we leave this here and we leave the results of all these things? Once a day at least, anytime you want, you're the temple. And at least once a week for an extended period of time, we just forget about all this stuff. Because eventually Monday comes or you know, whenever you start work or whatever, maybe you don't get a day off. Eventually your stuff piles on you again and you're going to need to take it back again and again. Jesus says this, I want you to pick up something else. When you put this down, you're putting something else on. You're putting me on. The yoke, that yoke with two, guess who we're yoked with? Jesus, he's pulling with us the whole time. He says, my yoke's easy. I'm pulling. I'm doing the heavy lifting. You just go in my direction. Just let me steer. Just bring it to me. You know what I find? When I pick up his yoke, I find that I'm enough. I'm enough. I matter. I have worth. I am loved. The that I'm worth his death, that I have a calling, and that life can be good. I remember how good it is to be in relationship with other, of what he's really doing in my life. And I remember who I am. Not who the world says I am, not who I dig down deep to find my hidden secret always identity. No, the one who made me, here's who I am. And I can be okay with that. Are you tired? Need some rest? I do. Do you want some rest in your soul? You don't have to do anything special. Jesus says, come to me. Bring all this junk to me. Yoke up with me and let's do life. And you will find rest for your souls. This is it. This is my last point. That's all I encourage you to do today. Learn the rhythm of rest. Learn the rhythm of rest. Move from measures to movement towards God and good things. Learn the rhythm of rest. It'll change your life. It will absolutely change your life. Learn the rhythm of rest. Are you tired? Are you weary? Come to me. Just come to me anytime. I'm waiting. Put all your measures down and move towards Jesus. Would you stand with me as we pray this morning?